Sponsored by vivagreen-greensax.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
My name is Fiona Kelly. I have a 100 square metre plot out here in Malahide.
And for those who aren't aware, it is Malahide Allotments. I was out here a long time ago when this was but a field. Fiona is not the first member or plot owner holder of Malahide Allotments we have had on. We have had also the famous, or not so famous, Paddy Courtney, comedian, actor, and also young Ava Coughlin, who was also on of recent as well. So Fiona is the third plot holder owner and the fourth voice from Malahide. It's not for any particular reason. I'd happily go to Carlow and Galway or other places like that. It's just, they ask me nicely, would you mind to come down and have a chat? Fiona, you're not, how would I call it, the stereotypical gardener. You don't look anything like Monty Don. You don't have the big woolly jumper and the breeches and a trumpet band following you around the place. How does, do I call you a young woman? Is that a fair description?
Yes, I'm pretty chuffed with that, actually. I'm 28, 29 on Monday. And I never really gardened before until 2 years ago when I stuck the spade in the ground out here for the first time. My mum and dad are both gardeners though, so that's how I got into it. My dad has an allotment as well. He got it about 4 years ago and I went down to visit one day and I was hooked. That was it.
Where is your dad's allotment?
It's in St. Anne's Park in Raheny.
Why didn't you take one near to your dad?
Well, they're council allotments, so the waiting list on those is about maybe 4 to 5 years minimum. And they're actually quite small. It's a lovely garden. It's like a Victorian wall garden. It's a really nice project they have there. It's more of a community garden, really, than allotments. But like, I had my name on the list, and about 2 years ago, I think it was the January, I was driving back from Pavilion Shopping Centre after a day shopping in the sales, and I saw the sign up for the allotments, and I thought, you know what? I think I'll get one of those. I think I'll have a shot at that, like, yeah.
Okay, so 2 years ago, you would have been 26 years of age. There are very few, I've got four sisters. Mm-hmm. I would know a lot of ladies. Ladies, is that it? I'm asking the ladies who aren't here, obviously. But that's an okay, you get where I'm coming from. I'm just being careful now. But I don't know any. I actually don't know any ladies who at 26 years of age, after a day's shopping, have turned around and said, you know what I need next? Not a pina colada, not a strawberry daiquiri, not a good night in Wright's Cafe venue or anything like that. I need to go and get myself an allotment. Yeah. It's not the done thing. Why are you a bit, do I ask, are you a bit potty? Not as in a bad way, but like as in Peter, nutty, not.
Yeah, a little bit mad. My friends all call me a tomboy. I like video games and sci-fi and, you know, I like muck and climbing things and kind of, so I'm much happier outdoors. Kind of, I'd rather be out here than out shopping. You know, it interests me more, kind of get my hands dirty. I don't think my hands have been clean now in 2 years. It's great.
Yeah. What does a stereotypical 26-year-old lady, young lady, do on a Saturday afternoon, Friday afternoon, when, I mean, you obviously work for a living.
I do, yeah, I work full time. When I got the plot, I was out of work. That's one of the reasons I took it on, because I was unemployed and I'd been unemployed for a long time. And I thought, I need a project. I need to do something. And I had it for about 3 months before I got work. And I don't know, it kind of gave me a boost. I found it real like therapeutic coming out here every day, and I had a reason to get up in the mornings and something to do, kind of get out and a bit of physical labour, and the joy as well of kind of just planting something and see it come to fruition. I have a real passion for it. Yeah.
What was the first thing you ever grew here?
First thing, potatoes. It was the first thing I planted here. It was potatoes, but they got blight. It was a disaster. Yeah.
Did your neighbours heckle you because your potatoes got blight, or did theirs get blight as well, or how did it all work?
Yeah, the whole field got it. Yeah, everyone's potatoes were destroyed the first year. Now, last year was a good year. I didn't grow any last year, but everyone who grew them last year seemed to have relative success with them. So, but I was kind of put off then by the blight. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to face that again. I'm just gonna ignore it. I'm not going to grow spuds this year. But I'm going to grow them again this year, hopefully. My favourite thing to grow, though, was carrots. The smell of them, picking them out of the ground, eating them with the muck still on them. Oh, There's nothing better in the world.
I have bad memories of Warrenstown Horticultural College and picking carrots non-stop for 6 weeks. And it reminds me, gardeners who do this for a living will empathise with me when I say, anybody who says there's nothing better than the smell of fresh cut grass, well, after about 42 years of 42 weeks of the year, it may be kind of, no, I'm joking, it doesn't start to get in your nerves. Does your dad come down and go, oh, I can't believe it, you put your thing over to, you did, it's, look, it's not even a Pythagoras' theorem, it's leaning a slight bit to the left-hand side, that's not a 90 degree angle, do you get that? Does he come down and see it?
He comes down to visit. He was down here with me this morning. He brought out this lovely new table I have in my new polytunnel. He'd come out the odd time. Mostly he would go out to his own allotment if he has, because he works full time as well. But I think he's relatively impressed at what I've done, because I do it on my own. So I kind of put the whole thing together on my own and built all the beds myself. And, you know, so I think he's a bit, oh, I'm very surprised. Didn't know you had it in you, you know, so...
Did you do, and again, there's a little bit of Peter in this when I asked the question, but did you do the thing where I don't want anybody's help, then partway through you realise, actually, I could have done with somebody's help, and then you realise, well, you've made the call, you're sticking to the decision, you're not going to back down on this, and you continue to do it on your own, and then you turn around and go, actually, I'm glad I did that. Was there an element of that about it?
A little bit. Like, the first few weeks, I had a few friends out with me, helping me kind of lug stuff around and dig. One of my close friends is an archaeologist, so he's a dab hand with an axe and a... you know, a spade. So I got him out, and because me and wheelbarrows don't make a good team at all. So every time I try and use one, I crash it or it falls over or something. So I have had a bit of help. Like, my mom comes out as well the odd time. She's a big gardener. She's very good. She grows a lot of flowers, so I get her out a lot. Give me a bit of advice on flower growing. But yeah, no, done most of it myself. I have had help, so I won't say it's all me. But it is very much my baby, and like, I kind of like nothing better than being out here on my own, to be honest. I'd rather come out here and just have a few hours to myself and just do a bit of gardening and get no thinking done. It's great. Yeah, it's the nicest thing about it, I think. Yeah.
Explain this to me. And again, for those listening, I do not have an allotment. I will never own an allotment. That and being on stage dancing are two things that I can assure you will never happen, mainly because I live in an acre and I take a size 13 shoe, and that answers almost every single question related to that one. But when you come to a, oh God, a 100 square meter patch of ground, the initial thing that you saw was it a pile of weeds? Was it overgrown? Was it 10 foot tall with weeds?
No, they had actually gotten rid of, it was agricultural land out here before they set up the allotments, so it was, the soil was in very good condition. I think it had been quite a cold winter though. I think it was the winter of all the snow, so the ground was quite frozen, so it was more so digging into the ground was a nightmare. It was really tough. That's why I built raised beds to grow everything in, because it's kind of a no dig method of gardening. Like, you don't need to dig the raised beds every spring. You just kind of put manure in them and put something over them and rake them, and they're ready to go. So it's much easier than all the intensive digging.
Okay, so an approximate 10 by 10, which is a 10 metres by 10 metres. So if you're in your living room or you're in your back garden, go out and pace 10 big paces. Like, pretend you're like a builder from, I don't know, Wexford or somewhere. 10 big paces one direction, 10 big paces one direction. Oh my God. And 10 paces to the other side. That will give you the size or a rough idea in your head of the plot that Fiona has. Fiona, what were the first things? And again, for partly the reason I'm talking to a 28 year young woman who has an allotment, is because you're not the stereotypical inverted commas gardener. You're also on the younger side of me by about 10 years, and it's not where you see pretty ladies out doing gardening things, taking on allotments all on their lonesome. Just to put in context, and because in my head that maybe seems a little bit of a daunting task, you're kind of a good person to go to say, well, here's the where it all starts. So we've walked out, we've seen the field, we know it's kind of overgrown with weeds. Some people tend to go out and do, I know Jane Powers notes it in her book about the, I won't call it anti-double digging, but some people tend to go out and first thing we need to do is dig the whole thing. You did not do that at all. What was the process to where you have it now? Because now it looks kind of pretty, and it's like the postcard that I would like to inherit. It's the bit that would make me want to take it on, but then I know when I go and take it on, I'm going to get an empty plot, and I basically have to do what you did. Can you talk me through the journey?
Yeah, sure. It was very daunting, obviously, looking at a giant pile of muck and not knowing what to do with it and having never gardened before. So I decided the first thing to do was get a fence up. So I could actually see what I was dealing with, because it was very hard to see with all the plots side by side exactly what, you know, size you were dealing with. So I had to kind of drive these giant 10-foot tall stakes into the ground, which was a huge job. And there was like a stake driver he had to use, and a few people had accidents, or I think there's somebody split their face open with it at one stage. And then putting the netting up took me a good 2 days. It was a really, really big job. And then after that, I decided to put in 6 kind of 8x4 raised beds, which was another big job. But we just used scaffolding planks. I got my friend out to help me with that one. And then filling the raised beds, that was probably a really, really tough job. Each of those raised beds has about 1.5 to 2 tons of topsoil in it. So it was a matter of, you know, getting the topsoil and wheelbarrowing it like kind of around the place. And we sieved nearly every single bed. So kind of stood there at a garden riddle for 2.5 weeks, just literally putting handfuls of muck into it and sieving them in. So it was a big job. And then after that, I kind of concentrated on those beds for, I'd say, maybe a good 2 months. That's when I got the shed, because I figured an allotment's not an allotment without a shed. You have to have a shed, you know. And I kind of just went from there. I moved the beds around quite a lot because I wanted a pretty plot, because I like gardens and I don't have a garden at home. Like, I live with my parents at the moment and they have lovely gardens, but they're not my babies, you know. So I wanted something that, somewhere I could come out and just sit down if I didn't feel like gardening, and just sit in a chair and have a cup of tea and enjoy the view, you know. So I grow a lot of flowers as well. It's not just fruit and veg. This year now I've put a polytunnel in. It's only here about 3 weeks. It's an absolutely huge job. I don't even know what to do with it. It's very, very daunting. It's 26 degrees in here today though, and it's about 12 degrees outside, so it's a bit of a, you know, it's kind of a huge difference in temperature. So it'll pay out kind of dividends when I'm growing seedlings and tomatoes and peppers, stuff like that. But it's constant changing, like the garden. It's never stays the same. Even today I've changed about 4 things in the garden that I just decided, oh, I don't like that there anymore. So it's never boring. You always want to do something different. I think that's what I like about it so much. You never kind of come out and go, oh, everything's done. Nothing's ever done. Nothing. It's constant. Like, yeah, it's torturous sometimes, but that's half the fun. Yeah.
That statement just reminded me of my mom and the whole thing of not being able to sit still, and you never sat on your backside and you never got caught sitting down because there was always something to be done. We're going to pause it just for a minute. Fiona, do you have a favourite band or a favourite song at this moment in time?
Rolling Stones, my favourite band. Anything with the Rolling Stones.
Pick a song.
Give Me Shelter.
Yeah, we are back for part two. I am still talking to Fiona Kelly. It's Fiona Kelly, yeah, in Malahide Allotments. Fiona, polytunnel tunnels, it's a rich man's. It's like having a gazebo cross conservatory swimming pool on the back of your house in Los Angeles, which is just your holiday home in allotment terms. How much does a baby like this cost? And for those who aren't aware, let me paste this. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about 5.5 meters by 1, 2 by about 2 meters. Is that right?
Yeah, it's I think it's 6 foot wide by about 14 foot long. So yeah, about 1.5 to 2 meters wide. Yeah.
And how much does one of these beauties set you back?
This one was €600, which is fairly pricey, but it's actually cheap compared to a lot of the other polytunnels you can get. I got a good deal from one of the lads who installs the polytunnels out here for a lot of the plot holders. Yeah, but I kind of see it as a really good investment because it's going to make such a difference to my gardening year. Because before, like, you know, I'd be out here maybe early February, I'd start gardening and kind of peter off, and maybe September, October, there wouldn't be much doing during the winter. Whereas now I'll be able to come out in December and I'm still growing things and still kind of planting and still harvesting food. So that's the whole point, is pretty much to make myself self-sufficient in fruit and veg.
Is that possible? I know there are people who say, you know, you should be self-sufficient, and there are people who will go out on Twitter and go, you know, I recycle my, you know, pillowcases, and I recycle my jeans, and I've recycled a washing machine, and oh look, I've turned my, you know, microwave into a bag of potatoes. You can do the same if you follow my and buy my book.com, etc., etc. Is there a bit where in reality the whole self-sufficiency thing maybe is a very far away place, that like an oasis in the desert that just keeps on getting, you know, it stays at that distance, or is it actually possible?
Well, I do think it's possible, but it's very difficult. It's a huge amount of work. Like, it's not just a case that you know throw some seeds in the ground and then, you know, 3 months later you have food. It's a constant kind of, especially if you want to be self-sufficient year round, it's, you know, you really have to plan it out. You have to sit down at the start of the year, and I have pages and pages and pages and notebooks at home with plans and dates I need to plan things and when they should be harvested. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's not about being entirely self-sufficient. It's just about being able to say, well, I can grow to my garden and pick carrots and broccoli and bring them home and cook dinner, and all I have to do is maybe buy some meat. And it's not really about saving money. It's more, I know what I'm eating. Like, it's organic food. I don't use any chemicals. I don't use any fertilizers or weed killers. Everything is organic. And I'm quite into knowing what I'm putting into my body. Like, I think it's very important. People nowadays don't really know where their food comes from. And kids nowadays think food, like, they think fruit and veg comes from a freezer, you know, and I think it's quite sad. You get such joy, even the joy alone is worth coming out and trying it, even if you can just grow a few vegetables in your back garden in a pot or something. It's not always entirely about being self-sufficient, but it's nice to try.
It is indeed nice to try, and it is something that I suppose with I think of my 3.5-year-old daughter while Fiona is talking away, and although the place in my head may seem very far away, I would never like to think that she would give up on trying to get there, even though it may be just a dream. But look, who cares? Can I ask you, how, I don't know, I hear people, radio stations, other radio stations, not this one, and they say the happiness index. I have no idea what the happiness index is, but in my head, it's a kind of a Richter scale of how big my smile is. How has it made a kind of a difference to you as an individual?
Huge difference. It's changed my life. Completely changed my life. It's changed my outlook on life. It's changed, like, my idea of the world around me, which I know seems like a huge statement, but it really has. I've become so much more aware, not just of, you know, food and, you know, kind of what I'm eating, but I've become more aware of wildlife and, you know, what's around us in the world and how we treat the world and, kind of, I suppose, sustainability and the environment and just kind of how we're treating this planet we live on, you know. And so I've become hyper aware to these things. So it's made a big difference. But yeah, I know the happiest I am is when I'm out here. I'm never happier than when I'm out here, especially on a day like today. The sun is beaming and it's a bit windy, but, you know, it's kind of, it's pure bliss. It's therapy.
Have you got to the point where now when you go to the Pavilion Shopping Centre and they've got, I don't know, is it Mango is one of the, it's a girl's, it's a girl's shop as far as this boy is concerned, if that's the way you want to call it. So you go to Mango and they've got this dress and it's, I don't know how much is a dress. I'm going to make up a random figure. So it's $127.99 reduced to $88.99, and you turn around and you go, but I also need a new trowel and I have to get carrot seeds. Do you put the dress back on the shelf? Yes. Do you do that now?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, it's completely, yeah, even financially, it's changed my life. You know, especially spending €600 on a big piece of plastic in the middle of a field seems a bit bizarre for most people my age. But yeah, I'd much rather spend my money on, you know, I suppose it's kind of looking at it like spending money on my future, you know, kind of. It's an education. Kind of being out in a garden, you learn so much, you know.
Is there also a point where you've been out on, right? I'm sounding like a dope here, right? But just bear with me. But is there a bit where you've got five girls and you're out and you're in the Cock Tavern and Swords or the Harp Bar? Do you go to the Harp?
Never.
No. Okay. Do you go to the Cock Tavern?
No.
No. Okay. I won't ask you where you go anymore.
Than
that. Okay, you're in town and you're sitting down and you're all having, I don't know, stereotypical girl drinks that are Appletinis if you're a Scrubs fan. Just for, not Appletinis. Okay, I'm not up. I don't know what girls frickin' do. I'm allowed to say frickin' on radio anyway. But okay, to try and get on with this one. And all of a sudden you realise everybody else has got pedicures and manicures. I don't even know what they are. And you've got dirty bits under your fingernails. And that's the bit where you got a splinter from a scaffold plank. And bit of the wood is still lodged inside your hand. I have all of that all over my hands. Is that the big difference between you and your mates? And I'm not slagging your mates off here.
Well, to be honest, most of my friends like would be quite similar to me and have similar interests. Like my best friend, she's a botanist, so she'd be the same. She likes getting her hands dirty. I don't know. I'm not really one for going for girly nights out anyway. Most of my friends are men, so I'm a bit of a tomboy. I'd rather sit at home and have a few beers and maybe play Xbox or something of an evening than go out into town and drink cocktails. But I do like going for a dance, of course, but you know. Yeah, I suppose I would be the girl who doesn't really bother getting her nails done or anything. Like, there's no point. Like, the state of them right now, they're blue paint and muck and everything. I'm going out into town tonight for birthday celebrations, and I'm just going to, I don't know, I'm going to look dirty. But they're used to me. They're used to me. The biggest problem is my legs, and my legs are always covered in bruises. So I have to wear black tights at all times. Like, I can't wear, like, bare legs anymore. Yeah. Covered in bruises, like, yeah.
But is it the alternative? Is it a bit like watching the A2 movie where you get to turn around and go, oh, I got this scar in 2011. I was putting a scaffold plank on a T3 P oil plant, went right through my knee, and you get to turn around and go, ah, stuff that, look, I fell on a polythene tunnel, one of the bars went straight through my arm and out the other side. Is it that?
It's not that extreme, but yes, there's always splinters and cuts and bruises and nettle stings. That's my big thing. I'm always covered in nettle stings. I think I don't even really feel them anymore, but they're there, and I'll go out and my arms will be covered in rashes. My friends are like, are you okay? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm grand. It's just, I just have leprosy. It's grand. Like, yeah, no, it's just nettle stings seem to be my biggest problem, and the bruises on my legs. I tend to walk into the corners of my raised beds a lot, and I stood on a nail last week, and just little things, you know. I stood on the rake once. That wasn't fun. Smacked me in the face. No, it's never good. I had a big lump on my forehead for a while, but yeah, I don't know. It's the least of my worries, though, you know, looking good, or, you know, not kind of being bruised or being fake tanned and extensions. It just doesn't interest me. It's, this is what it's all about for me, just being out and getting, kind of digging and planting. Yeah.
If there are people out there, and I think the Sod Show does this bit quite well, where we, you know, we're able to get away. Is that the right way to say it? We're able to get away with having the James Wongs of this world. Yes, we have had James Wong on the show, the Andrew Wilsons, and also equally the Katrina Redmonds, who work behind the scenes in the Sod Show, but equally have been involved in the allotments up in Balbriggan, and also the Fionas of this world, if that's fair to say. They're not as famous as me, gardeners. There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm joking. But, you know, if you were to, if there was another 26, 28-year-old lady, mom, dad, brother, cousin who was thinking of the allotment and it was a little bit daunting, what's the best advice to do? Is it round up a posse of friends to help you out? Is it, or is it just get out there and do it?
Just get out there and do it. Yeah, it's change your life, definitely. Yeah, it's changed my life for the better anyway. I actually like to think I'm a different person now than I was 2 years ago when I first stood here. So, yeah, I would definitely advise everyone to try it. As I said, even at your back garden, get a black sack and put some potatoes in it, or, you know, get some watercress seeds or something easy. Start yourself off. But once you start, you'll be addicted. You know, it's so addictive.
Fiona has an absolutely wonderful blog, and from a horticultural perspective, or as a qualified, trained horticulturist head, for me to say that I like somebody else's blog outside of my own, that is, no, I'm joking, but it is horticulturally spot on. It's an absolute delight to read. I cannot recommend it highly enough, and it probably uses simpler terms to explain things, but it's also somebody who's doing it on a daily basis as versus writing about it. I highly recommend you should go there. It's Fiona Grows Food.
FionaGrowsFood.com.
FionaGrowsFood.com. If you're driving, don't start to write that down on a piece of paper. If you're listening to this live on radio, we'll have all the links to this up on sodshow.com, including Fiona's Twitter account, which is Fiona, but it's written, that's how it's phonetically sounding, and it's got underscores in the middle. Again, we'll have all of the links to this up on sodshow.com. In the meantime, Fiona, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to meet you.
With thanks to you at home for listening in podcast or live on radio, to our sponsors, Green Sacks Compostable Bags for Home and Gardens. You'll find this, all the details, the show notes up on sodshow.com, at Sodshow on Twitter, or on Facebook. Have a great weekend in the great outdoors. Chat next week. Take care. Slán. Bye for now. I'm free to be whatever I